Isaiah 6:8 reads, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am Pastor Bryce. I will be hosting this. Today I've brought in our resident expert on missions. It is pastor/elder Dan Gielock. Dan, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. I don't know that I would describe myself as an expert, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
If I had the authority to confer honorary PhD degrees, I would give you one, Dan. But, you know, I don't, so it doesn't matter.
I have warned you about hyperbole before, brother.
I never use hyperbole.
Never.
Never.
I am always.
Well, we are continuing our quarterly focus on missions. And we've just moved from motivations for missions, which applies to everybody equally as believers. And we've started talking about the two categories of ways we are practically involved in missions. There is going, so there are the goers. We started talking about that last week with Am I Called? We'll continue that this week. Then there are also the senders, and we'll be discussing that as well. Everyone listening to this, if you are a believer, you are called either to be a goer or a sender. As it's been put in a pithy way before, everyone's either a goer, a sender, or disobedient, which is a good way to put it. So we're all involved, but in different ways. And so right now we're talking about goers. So we did talk about last week trying to wrestle through for each of us, am I called by God specifically to go as a cross-cultural missionary? And one thing I do want to address and just ask you about, Dan, somebody might be listening, maybe listened last week or is listening now and is seriously considering missions. They have some desire for missions. They have some burden for the nations. They feel this and they're wondering maybe they are called, but they're not certain about it. They're just, it's just a sense that they have. How certain, Dan, do you think someone should be before they start trying to take the next step toward becoming a going missionary?
I think that if there is a concept, they must be absolutely rock solid and never have any doubts penetrate their unconquerable armor that's not realistic. No. I think that it's absolutely normal and probably appropriate to have some level of question, maybe even self-doubt, not trusting your own impulses 100%. So I would always applaud humility and a willingness to be open to direction and feedback from others. Second, I do believe that our certainty will increase as we move from assurance of the inner call to the outer call. The verification and two or three witness principles will expand that confirmation, certitude, and validity. Third, is it possible that our confidence would be impacted by God's hand of providence, but to which direction isn't always clear? It's not always read correctly. To quote William Cooper's song, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Now, to illustrate that, we know that the Apostle Paul had clear intentions to go somewhere. As a matter of fact, he planned on going to Corinth several times, but the Lord changed his plans. So we can't just say that by a particular instance of God's sovereign providential hand that we should interpret it. God gives us his word. God gives us godly counsel. And we should definitely take advantage of that. And that will increase our confidence level in the direction of a call.
Excellently put. It's almost that we just bear in our mind that missions is such a good thing. that if you sense any degree of a call, you don't have to be certain about it. But like you're saying, let's just take some steps in that direction. And it may even be that God, by his mysterious providence, closes that door. That's what happened even with my wife, Michaela, who was moving toward missions, taking all the steps. She had taken a lot of steps to move toward missions, especially toward the unreached. She's going to be a single missionary to the unreached. And then plans changed. It was very difficult. But it was still right of her. All of those steps that she took were obedient to the Lord. It's just she didn't know, unfolding every hour, she didn't know until God had in his mind what all was going to unfold.
I think that was her marriage to you, wasn't
that
it?
That was a significant part of it. Yes, it was. Yeah, I mean, just as, and again, that was, she didn't expect marriage at all to be in the cards. And so, and then MS followed. So just things happened, you know. You know, she had MS actually for part of the time as she was preparing. I wasn't aware of it. So that was going to complicate that, whether we got married or not, just to say. So yes. So definitely an encouragement to those listening. You don't have to be certain it's going to even work out. But if you're sensing some call, missions is such a needed thing, such an urgent thing and a good thing. It makes sense to start taking those small steps in that direction. Speaking of which, what are those small steps? So Dan, if somebody's at Faith Bible listening to this podcast, they have some sense of a desire for missions, but they don't know what to do with it. What would be maybe the next step for them?
Well, I would first say get involved and get plugged in where your local church is plugged in. You know, is there a missions committee? Does that missions committee meet on the last Monday of every month? Are there
very specific rhetorical question, Dan?
Yes, it is.
Ours does. Ours does.
Are there opportunities to go on short-term mission trips? Bryce, would you come with me to India?
I'm sure Michaela would be fine with that. She'll be just fine with that. Perfect. No problem.
How about having a missionary at your home? You know, we've got a great collection in our library of mission biographies. Read them. Read them to your kids. Seriously. And ask, is not your heart peculiarly warmed by that? You know, do you find that the biography of Patton, as he's hiding up in a tree and he's feeling safe in the arms of Jesus, does that, you know, fill you with excitement and a desire and a greater interest? What about prayer? We have each of our missionaries every month. They provide us with a brief few points on how to pray for them. Do you find yourself willing, able? Are you consistent? Do you put that up on your fridge, the pictures of the various missionaries? You know, and if you're not doing that, search out, what is your fellowship doing? You know, and if you find your interest growing, you're talking with the leadership of the church, you're investigating opportunities, I think those are the next steps.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, because those are some very practical things that someone could do. And they do not, none of those things absolutely commit someone to a lifetime of cross-cultural missions, but are just nice next steps, which would include, like you said, there are some meetings that they can get involved in, the missions committee, which does meet the last Monday of every month. On Mondays in the evening, that would be a really wonderful way for someone. Yeah.
And even one of our people in our fellowship, of their own accord, said, I want to meet once a week and pray for international missions. Praise God. So they're doing that. They did that all by themselves. I said, just said, go do it. I don't have to do it. You do it. And they did it. And now there's a group of four people that gravitate together every week, and they're praying for missions.
Yeah, which if you have any interest in, that's here at the church in the library, Fridays at 6 a.m. So a group of people meeting together to pray. So Fridays, 6 a.m. here at the church. And then the missions committee. What time does the missions committee meet, Dan?
6:40.
6:40 p.m. last Monday of each month. Does somebody have to officially register to come to the missions committee? How do they jump into that?
No, they should just simply jump into that. And if we have enough people, we'll just move it to the worship center and fill up 400 seats.
That's what I'm talking about right there. So those are two, just right off the bat, two meetings. It will get you around other people who have a deep passion for missions. to be able to pray on those Fridays and at the missions committee. So that's a very practical thing that can be done. Like you said, reading good biographies, getting the missionary prayer cards up on your fridge, praying for the missionaries, making it a point to go to lunch with them, see them when they come here. There are just a lot of things that we can do. The Joshua Project is a organization many people know about, who keep track of specifically of unreached people groups around the globe that we can be praying for. So there are a lot of next steps just like that, that someone can take without that full-fledged commitment, I am now a missionary. You mentioned, this may have been last week, but you mentioned Andy Johnson with those four tiers. His book is the one we have out here in the foyer, which is a fantastic book on missions. I like what he says on page 68 of his book, which is just called Missions. The work of missions is urgent, but it's not frantic. That's so helpful, because you don't want to twist somebody's arm into, take the next steps, go, be a missionary. You know, but there's such a need for it, you almost feel tempted to do that. So we're not trying to guilt anybody into it. But as we wrap up this episode, I did want to ask you this, Dan. It is possible for someone to have some degree of a calling from the Lord to go and be a missionary, to go, and to resist that for sinful reasons or just because we get busy, we get distracted. So I did want to address that briefly here at the end. How do we keep a sense, if someone's feeling the sense of being called, how do they keep that sense from just getting swallowed up by uncertainty or the busyness of life or distractions?
Well, it's a great question. And really, it's a question that can be placed on any other aspect of our Christian life. The choice possession of a man is diligence, the proverb tells us. That discipline and Timothy, you know, reminds us that we should discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. So set up those routines, those patterns, those practices. Put it on your calendar, whether that's on your device or, again, a piece of paper on your refrigerator, and set that time aside and be diligent in that. The old illustration that, you know, you have set times when you have a cup of coffee or you sit down to eat. Do that for these godly practices as well. And then couple together with other people, because that will help you. Now, I know this might come as a surprise, Bryce, but there are times when I could be seen as someone who twists people's arms.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Dan, who said that about you?
It could be said that Dan Gelock is a zealot, but I truly do hope that the encouragement and the opening up of opportunities that we have and that we can give to each other will be used of the Lord to help each one of us grow in godliness, grow in obedience. And I think that that's something that we need to remember. It's not only that it's a practice, it's a lifestyle, but it's obedience to the Lord. And even more overarching than this, it is for God's glory. It is for the exaltation of Christ Jesus. It is so that there is worship, that all the nations should praise him, so that when we get to glory and we hear and we see people of every tongue, tribe, nation, and kindred, we will know it is because God's moved in the hearts of his people to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the powerful, effective, increasing gospel to others, and that God would be praised and glorified by all these people. I think that if we keep that perspective in mind, it will help us and keep us from busyness or distraction, and bring us back when we do get so distracted.
That's excellently said, Dan. Thank you so much again for helping us with this. You who are listening, it is possible that you have sensed some missionary call in your life, and maybe you've gotten busy, you've gotten distracted, you've forgotten the picture that Dan just painted for us of God's great purpose in the world, and you've settled down into little things, forgetting all about that. Whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way.